Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan here.
And you're listening to episode 267. This past week, the long-rumored GoldenEye 007 remake project, which began in the hands of Microsoft and Rare, finally leaked to fans and is playable. So it's for the Xbox 360. I don't know if I even ever knew that, or if I did, I had forgotten it. But they were going to make a remake for the Xbox 360. It got canceled, but they had already done a considerable amount of work on it, and then it got into fans' hands. It's near identical to the original Nintendo 64 game, but has better graphics and a few quality of life changes.
I mean, just the fact that it's on the actual two-stick shooter style, like, controller means that I might put up with it, but I don't really care.
Yeah?
Personally.
I was fine for some reason until you said updated graphics and quality of life. Like, that's not GoldenEye though. I don't want to
you
play
want
a GoldenEye.
To play on the worst experience.
I want to
the
play
only
with those
thing wrong with GoldenEye is how
faces.
Terrible it was
is how the no, only
okay.
thing wrong
that's not what I'm saying like keep your mitts off of it, Microsoft. I don't need that in my life.
Well, they're not doing it any longer, but fans have been able to get a hold of it, and it's pretty much the full game. There's no multiplayer experience, but
it's probably bizarre to play in updated graphics, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you,
that's what I'm saying. They have some side-by-side stills. I haven't played it, but to see, like, I don't know, the bunker next to a more high def, and in on the emulator, on the Xbox 360 emulator, which I didn't even know there's a thing, you can even play it in like 4K widescreen, all of these things too, which is just nuts.
Oh, Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
I forgot.
It's been
that
a
existed.
While, wasn't it?
Wow.
It's not the only remake or remastered. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but maybe you've even heard this week the Mass Effect stuff, that because they're remastering. I don't think remaking Mass Effects 1, 2, and 3. So that's a big deal, too. They're just doing a lot of that, which it leads me to the question, which I've probably asked before, but what is a retro game you'd love to see remastered or a remake of? Again, I think we've had the conversation, but it's good to do it every once in a while. Anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, first thing that came to my mind was Zelda games, because of Link's Awakening. They did the remake on Switch, and it's fantastic. I would love a remake in the same style or in a different style if they wanted of the Oracle games that were on Game Boy. Ages and Seasons. I love those games. My favorite handheld Zeldas. If they remade both of those and did like a combo pack or something, dude, on the Switch, I'd cop that. Instant.
I thought you were going to say The Legend of Zelda, The Land Before Time, because that is...
The Land Before...
They haven't remade the Time one.
The Time one. They're all about time. You're talking about A Link to the Past?
Yeah.
Okay.
Words are words, and you got what I was talking about, so...
Words are
mission accomplished.
Indeed words.
Kenny?
I don't know. Game? I've been sitting here thinking, and I got nothing. I feel like all the games I care about, they've tried to remaster.
Civ 2.
Some of them went well. Not Civ 2. But like Civ 6 exists. They don't need to remake Civ 2. That's not the kind. That's not the genre that needs that.
Probably not, but you'd buy it.
You know, they've done a lot of remakes of Final Fantasy games for different consoles and systems, but I would love to see some of those earlier ones get the Final Fantasy VII remake treatment, like actually reconfigure and remake it, because I would imagine Final Fantasy I has issues, has considerable issues to modern standards. It does, Kenny. It does.
It does.
If they created that and I don't know if I would. Maybe I wouldn't want it, but no, I would. That would be awesome to play Final Fantasy 1 through 6 in like fully reimagined.
Take a 2D one and make it 3D.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, like it's 6.
It's still got to be 2D.
No,
it's reimagined.
You remake it, like I said, Final Fantasy 7 remake.
The 2D one still exists. You can still go play that.
You know what?
A lot of people have said before, and I have. Knights of the Old Republic, and Knights of the Old Republic 2. I don't know why they haven't touched that again.
They should, and probably will, because those games were very successful. That would be a great remake.
We don't have the best suggestions. Usually when we come here, I'm dropping questions on them right away, and to think in the moment live is often tough. But you are listening to and or watching this, and you probably have better suggestions than us, because seriously, when it comes to video games, we don't know jack.
Shh.
I mean, that's an actual video game. That's not the video game we played this week.
We don't know jack?
That's a game.
Yeah.
Who's Jack?
What game is that?
It was a trivia game on PC in the mid-90s.
Oh, I thought he was trolling.
I'm pretty sure it's on the Retro Master List, too.
Oh, I just did the second part of it. Like in our retro game of the week, Jack.
Overview.
Top Gunner.
Great movie.
Or Jack. I think that one's Top Gun.
Oh.
Top Gunner or Jackal is an overhead drive-and-shoot-em-up video game first released in the arcades in 1986 and then for the Famicom and the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1988.
As well as a bunch of other systems, too. This dropped on MS-DOS,
like what,
Commodore 64, on a few of those other less mainstream
don't matter.
Consoles.
Still don't matter.
It was developed and published by Konami, so there's already promise there.
Yeah.
Arcade, and then ported, and then Konami. This is right around Konami's like golden years, because either same year or right around, you've got them producing Gradius, Castlevania, Contra. Like, this is the time that Konami is really doing it well.
What can you tell me about the Konami code?
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. I don't care. The arcade. We've talked about it before, our varying experiences in the arcade. Had you ever seen Jackal in the arcade before?
Never.
Never. I overtly recall, but arcades had a lot of these top-down, sort of military-based shooters. And so there's a possibility.
A lot of them were in the sky with, like, planes, 1942, those kinds
shmup
of things.
Yeah, shmup, like Top Gun.
Gunner.
No, like Top Gun, the game.
Right.
No, I had never seen it, and I think for me it was because by the time that I would notice games in the arcade... It was like Mortal Kombat and the newer games, because I didn't have like a huge arcade that may have had it in the back or something. I just had the newest releases.
I've said before on the show, I spent a lot of time in various arcades, but I've never seen Jackal before. And maybe it was there, but I feel like if it was there and I gave it a try, like I would have noticed it, because I did play military. Military was a huge thing. We've talked about that even before. And we played a few military games on this show. We've played POW, Prisoner of War,
a lot of others. A lot. That Genesis one.
Bionic Commando is real military. Yeah.
So many of them are military, like on the surface or when you start playing.
So... I didn't see it in the arcade, and then I for sure didn't have it on a home console. This is my first week playing it, and I think it's yours too. Nolan, you did the first play, and it was super cool watching you do it, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, because you didn't even figure out all... It's an NES arcade game, and within the first 10-15 minutes of Nolan playing it, he still didn't discover all of what the game is about, which is... interesting, because typically with these games that start in the arcade, you can figure it out within a few minutes. And you knew what you were doing, but there's still a huge portion of it that you hadn't even gotten to yet, which was super cool.
Yeah.
Let me give you the plot.
Okay.
It's from the I'll just read it from the manual, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's under the heading Return to Nam.
Oh,
or
no.
Nam? Nam or Nam? Nam.
Depends.
Nam, Nam? It's not Nam.
What does it depend on?
Back in Nam.
Who's saying it?
Back in Nam.
Oh, wow, you're right.
That sounded good, huh? All right.
Wait, I guess it depends on what part of the country you live in.
Infrared satellites soaring miles above Earth have spotted dozens of American prisoners of war still trapped on enemy soil. Missing for years but never forgotten, these men must be brought home. The only possible hope for their freedom is a small-scale commando raid code, raid codenamed Jackal. Da-na-na, da-na-na.
The news... The breaking news noise?
I think that was Sports Center.
Oh. Da-na-na, da-na-na. We're going to get DMCA'd. That's not a bad setup. I thought it was going to be insane. That was so normal.
An elite group of soldiers going in to rescue their
That's dope.
Compatriots?
And Jackal's a cool name. Let's go. Yeah.
Gameplay.
In Jackal, you are a vehicle. Vehicular combat?
No, I mean, you're not even technically.
You're doing combat in a vehicle, so yes, technically.
Technically.
You aren't a vehicle.
You're the person
in commando unit driving a vehicle.
You never see a person driving it. I have no proof that you're not a sentient vehicle.
Knight Rider business stuff.
Yes. Ooh. So you're a Jeep, like an army Jeep. The player controls this Jeep from a top-down view, so like we had mentioned, arcade usually was top-down, and at this point in time, this is still top-down of Nam, I guess? And
I guess, or after.
Right. True, I guess, based on that plot.
And or I mean, Nam.
It's
and
not, or Nam. The location hasn't moved. It's still the same country.
But I'm meaning in the context of the war.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the aftermath of that. So
then years after.
So you're driving around, and back to what Dustin was saying about how I didn't discover everything in this game. So you can shoot as this vehicle, like a pea shooter kind of thing, and you have a grenade on your other button. So the NES controller, two buttons. So those are your weapons. So I'm like, cool. It's like a shmup, and the goal is to just get to the end of the stage, which that's fine. You can do that, and I felt like I won. However, I discovered that you can destroy the environment in this game. I didn't try to destroy one of the huts, and it turns out that's where the POWs are held. Does the game explain that to you?
He went in, killed all the enemies, and then forgot his mission of saving people.
Yeah.
Called it a day.
No, and I'm not sure if you followed, but at the end of each of the stages that you completed, you get a little screen that says here.
Here.
Because you weren't finding any of the POWs.
That's what... Okay, so someone doesn't get the goal of something, and someone's in trouble, their life's at risk, and all they say is here, mark.
No, it's here, mark. Because you're trying to find the POWs, you didn't find them on the first stage or the second stage.
Are we in the right spot? Here? That is not a good message to the player.
The right country,
sorry.
Even?
Did they move Nam? I think that if you do successfully rescue all the POWs on any given stage, that screen is different.
Yeah, it says,
at the end.
Yeah!
And they are like, yeehaw! Or something
right, so
like
those
that.
Two messages are trash.
Those are so clear.
To the player, but yeah, so the actual goal is to save these POWs, and the cool part, the part I'd like to emphasize here is that the environment, you can interact with the environment in this game, which was just like
weird.
Sick.
In a few ways. Kenny.
Okay. Seriously, is he going to do this?
Wait, so you can?
You
Kenny?
Can, yes.
Oh, okay. Well. Interesting. That's what I said. What do you got to say about that, Kenny? It sounds like you have thoughts on that for some reason.
It wasn't like environment interaction was like a huge element of this game. They threw a couple of kind of novel things in there, but It's not like that was gameplay defining or anything.
Arcade 88? Or
hey,
NES?
I got it, Nolan. Okay. We're talking with a guy who's going to think that this game was bad.
Oh,
so
no,
let's just
you don't know
forward.
Me.
So, as Nolan mentioned, you have the pea shooter machine gun and you have the grenade. The grenades are upgradable based on either finding certain tokens, power-ups on the map that are hidden, or rescuing a certain POW that is flashing. And that upgrades your grenade to a missile. I think it does it three total times, maybe four total times, but it upgrades it until it's at a point where the shrapnel, after it bursts, it has longer range, and then once it hits, it goes off, explodes. Four cardinal directions, and it can hit other enemies that are around. You cannot upgrade the machine gun pea shooter, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish you could have just gotten a faster firing rate, or where you could just hold it down, because you couldn't just hold it down, right?
It would have been nice.
Is burst
you
fire.
You can hold it down, but it's relatively slow.
I wish you could have removed the giant magnet. There had to be a giant magnet at the end of the level, right? Because there's some reason that your gun is stuck facing one direction and pointing that way, and you can't ever move it, even though your vehicle turns in all the different directions and your grenade can be shot in any direction you want. Your gun's broken.
Defend that.
It only shoots north.
That is balance. That is game balance.
Yep.
While it's frustrating at first,
it is.
You just mentioned your grenade can go in any direction that you're facing. So
yes. This isn't Galaga. It just means nobody actually uses that weapon.
Any eight directions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Up, down, left, right, and then diagonal.
But your machine gun is stuck north. When I watched your first play before playing, I thought that would frustrate me. I wish that I could change the direction of that for sure, but it is balance and it makes sense. And I did use it. I used it on the infantry, the people that were on foot. If I couldn't get to them and run over them, then I would use that.
Yeah,
Nolan just ran them down.
Nolan
that was fun.
Loved this game immediately when he found out he could just run over all the people.
I was like, wait a minute, we're just murdering people with a car? Because you are. And also the speed at which those projectiles shoot is different. So like, yeah, if I knew an enemy would die in like one hit, so the infantry, sure, use that gun. But if you're dealing with a turret or a tank, I would use the grenade because you'd have to shoot them multiple times with the pea shooter. So yeah, I got over it, and it did feel arcadey though. So that port to the NES, I feel like that's one factor that made this game really feel like it was an arcade game, and like you could tell because of that north shooting gun. But
though it certainly wouldn't have translated, apparently the original take on this arcade cabinet was going to have the joysticks that both move your joystick and also rotate, so that you can
move your joystick that move your vehicle.
Right. I'm sorry. That move your vehicle. And also, I believe the way it works is then the joystick itself rotates, so you can move your gun separately from the way your vehicle was placing, all on one joystick. And people, I guess, you know, it's confusing, but there's games that do this. I think if people could have learned to do it and you could like embrace it, that would have felt a lot more natural. I really was not a fan of the stuck shooting one direction mechanic.
Do you know who Harry Styles is?
You don't? Okay.
I mean, I know he's famous.
You have a large variety of enemies. So we mentioned infantry already, but you've got, man, a whole cast of enemy characters that all operate differently from one another. It's so impressive. You've got infantry on feet, and even with them, you've got a couple different ones. You've got some guys that I don't even know if they shoot. They just kind of stand there and wait for you to kill them.
Oh, they shoot, but they fake you out. Like, you're like, okay, they're not going to shoot me. And then they shoot, and you're like, all right.
Yeah. And then you've got your common tanks that are similar to yours. You've even got a few different tanks. You've got then you've got like cannons that are on the stage. You've got missile launchers. You've got bomber planes and helicopters.
Yeah. Gun turrets, gun ships. There's
laser
boats,
beams.
There's
statues.
There's a pretty good
statue
giant heads.
Yeah,
that shoot missiles at you out of their mouths. There's
that
a pretty good variety
a
of
lot.
Enemies.
That is a lot of enemies for a game like this.
Yes.
Arcade games ported to consoles can often come with problems that you don't get to replicate that same arcade experience, or that they have to minimize some things because you could do something in the arcade that you can't do at home, or there's a whole variety of reasons that they often are done poorly. But I think this was done so faithfully and even made a few changes. Like, I don't think in the arcade game, Kenny, you jerk, had power-ups. Like, I think that was added to the NES port.
I think it was. They did.
No, you're wrong. And there's other things too that weren't. What is he?
I'm just. What is he? I think it did.
He's like, he didn't even say long. I think it was.
He just disagreed.
Did you play the arcade game this week, bud?
No, but I read about it and I watched some gameplay. It did look much nicer. That's never a surprise. Limitations on a dedicated cabinet versus, you know, a home console. The NES definitely is the best of all the ports here, for sure. And you're right. It is pretty faithful to the type of game and what you're doing.
You can also play two-player, which we didn't get to do, and that would be so much fun. Nolan, I wish we knew about this game when you were over here.
I know. I thought about that this week. Same thing.
Because you play on the same screen, and it's a pretty big screen. And Nolan, you'll have to talk about, because I know you kind of loved it, when you found out that it's like exploration a little bit, and you can backtrack a little bit. But you share the screen on two-player, and it's not friendly fire, and so you're just working together to accomplish the same tasks that you are in the original. And but with a friend, couch co-op.
Yeah, I was thinking about how we played what was it, NES Ninja Turtles NES together, and like NES multiplayer is like next level. It's so fun.
I love it.
And so this game, I was like, man, I want to play this multiplayer. So I want to bring this up too. You mentioned heads as an enemy, which sounds weird. Yeah. There are bosses in this game.
Yeah.
Totally unexpected. Typically with these kinds of games, yes, you explore a little bit, save some people. I don't know. You get to the end of the stage and it's usually over.
I'm not sure a boss at the end of a stage is a completely novel thing in a video game.
I'm going to slap him.
You can.
It's a military game, Kenny, that the boss variety is insane. And you're going to tell me that four Medusa head statues shooting things at me is not novel and unexpected?
No, I will say they did put a good variety of bosses. The existence of bosses is not a surprise, even in 1980, whatever. But they mixed it up pretty well.
There are a variety of bosses, as mentioned. You start with something relatively simple. A few blue tanks show up and try to fight you, okay? But it starts you easy. The second stage has more of like this Greek pantheon type feel, right? Even the environment
pillars
is breaking off and you have to avoid the columns that are landing on you, which is crazy. And then you fight, the statue heads at the end that are shooting these missiles at you, and you have to take them out one by one. And then you fight a battleship.
Yeah.
And then eventually this advanced helicopter. And then you take on this enemy base, then a second version of the enemy base, and then the master tank at the end.
Can we talk about the fact that their headquarters was just sitting on top of this tank, apparently, or something? Like, you go and you do this final fight. You think that it feels a little easy for the end of the game, but you're like, okay, it's the enemy headquarters. We just destroyed it. Awesome. And then just like it disappears and there's just a giant tank there, a huge tank, bigger than a whole million set of buildings, a million of them.
No hyperbole.
And it starts shooting infrared giant flamethrowers at you. It was a lot.
By that point, I was like, yeah, of course, this is the final boss. Like, I was fine with it. My point is variety and stage cohesion. Like, it just every there aren't many stages. What,
six?
They should have been samey, like, and for the most part it's the same thing. You're breaking buildings or whatever, but like one of them has a train in it.
They all
feel different, and they introduce new enemies in most of them, and it's unexpected variety, and I'm always a fan of making things different as you progress through the game, especially for short games.
I'm glad you weren't looking at the screen when you were talking, because your bearded friend was making faces the whole time.
Dude.
I have opinions.
Share your wrong opinion, please, because anything that you have to say is wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. What?
Bunnies make great pets.
Okay, dang it. Well, listen.
I knew I could trip you. Okay. Yes, there's a decent variety of enemies. I do think the game still feels a little bit samey, though. The variety changes, the music changes. They're okay about mixing up a little bit of layout, but it's tanks and enemies and variations of the same enemy. You get one or two like different types of projectiles thrown at you, but it's mostly dodging peas coming back at you. Again, a few exceptions. But it just like it's you and your tank, and you get the one little weapon upgrade, but it's not like you do different stuff or have to change your play style, or it felt a little samey to me.
It's 1988, and I can show you samey in 1988.
It's not even samey, though.
The majority.
Kenny even prefaced his samey comment with, there is a good amount of variety, and you do. There is a lot of different enemies. Yeah.
Okay.
And you do.
Maybe my problem is not level design or like the enemy portion of it. It's the gameplay portion of it. It's your tank. It just feels real static.
It's the genre. Shmup. Galaga,
yeah, so
is
give
samey.
Me, so give me some more upgrades. Let me have the upgrade that moves my turret or shoots other guns, or give me an armor upgrade to block things, or let me make a choice between one or two upgrades instead of just one. It's this linear thing, and you just save all the prisoners, which is cool. That's what we ought to do. I don't know.
We didn't even say, because I think this is a extremely cool part of it, is that you're rescuing these prisoners. They once you blow open one of these like buildings, they run, and you got to park right by the hole that you blew up, and they run one at a time while a guy's like waving them in, like come on, come on. And then
how big is your Jeep? For
listen,
real.
What
kind of Harry Potter trunk is going on where they're all loading up and it's got more space inside of it than outside?
And then what's fun is that you've got multiple lives, so when you get shot, because you will, it's one shot kill, you get shot, your Jeep explodes, the prisoners that you captured scatter, they start running, dude. Yeah, they don't run far.
It's
they just
like
kind of wait there.
Out of a car. More than can fit.
They wait there, your new Jeep reappears, and then you can collect them again, take them to, do you understand this, a drop-off point around halfway or near the end. You've got a helicopter, a green one that seems friendly, comes from the south portion of the screen to the north, and you're like, why did that just fly over? Well, you find out a little bit later that there is a helipad, and if you park there, all the prisoners that you captured run out of your tank into the helicopter and take off. That's amazing.
That's attention to detail.
Yes.
That didn't have to be there. You can suspend disbelief so much in video games, especially here. You could have just, the car could have reappeared and the POWs didn't have to scatter. They could have just been in there and you're like, okay, yeah, I'll give them that. But they were like, no, the Jeep blew up. What are we going to do with the people inside? And so they addressed that. And then the helicopter, yeah, my first play was like, did that? I don't know if I mentioned, but I was like, did that even attack me? No, it wasn't. Right. It wasn't. It was the friendly one. It's like,
yeah,
that's so much detail for
Kenny?
An 88 NES game. Yeah, go ahead, Kenny. Go ahead.
You don't like helicopters?
I thought the helicopter rescue was nice. You know, they did a good job making it your same color.
Yeah.
Having it land. I don't know. That's a good way of handling the prisoners. At least it wasn't like just
having
collect
it
them.
Land.
I was a little confused initially because it looks like you're running your prisoners over when you collect them. Like the kill the enemy behavior is the same as the collect your friends behavior. But I don't know that there's another good way to do that. You run them over. You plow them down. Collected.
Screw you and the tank you rode in on.
Aged.
both the graphics and the music age better than most retro games we've ever played.
Yeah, I was just right to it. Yes. Kenny?
That's a bold statement. We've played a lot of games. Some other really, really nice looking ones. I think plenty of things that both look and sound better. The sentiment you're going for, I will agree with about the graphics. It looks pretty good.
Fantastic.
I wasn't a huge fan of the music personally. It's good. It just wasn't. Dustin. I wasn't feeling it.
Dustin. Yeah.
It's listenable outside of the game. Anytime that's doable, then...
It definitely wasn't, like, bad NES music. I'm not trying to, like, just... You're right. It's well put together music that matches the game. I just wasn't a fan of it. Like, sometimes you put something on and it vibes and you're like, yeah, I'm getting it. I feel it. This works for me. You could listen to it outside of the game, but I wouldn't. Like, it wasn't my favorite. I'm not trying to say the music was bad.
Okay. Let me graphics first. The texture that they like achieved on these stages is actually insane. NES games didn't look like this in 88. I don't think. No. Like, I'm probably forgetting some, but even like Mega Man, you know, it's got nice backdrops, I guess, and the enemy detail. Mega Man looks great, but this is like the colors. Every stage looked and felt different, and I was just so blown away by like the grass texture, like that, you know, like stupid stuff like that. You notice and you're like, geez, so much quality and attention to detail. Yeah, I'm with you. This, I can't name many other NES games that look this good. I can name some, Bucky O'Hare. And sure, you know, some games like that.
And Battletoads, was that NES? Was that NES?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like there are some sure. People did some great things with such limitations that the NES has. I think this had a little bit of a benefit coming from the arcade because you can do more with that. So they just had to probably scale back some. But the detail on the helicopters, on the statues, on the tanks, on everything, you knew what everything was. And like every element that they added, like we've already mentioned, it wasn't rinse and repeat from stage to stage.
Yeah.
Each and every stage had its unique color scheme, its unique vibe, its unique feel, its unique enemies even. And all of that was done graphically, was done so well. I just think it ages so well. No, it's not today's modern standards of graphics, but for an NES game, it looks so good, the coloring and the detail.
Yeah, even how your car moves, like the it kind of does the bounce and the rumble around as you move, like the animations all yeah. make sense to me. The guns have recoil, like the turrets recoil when they shoot. Come on, man, it's actually impressive still.
And I disagree with Kenny on this, with everything, but with like I did listen to this music outside of playing the game. Like I pulled up the soundtrack, and it's remarkable. Yeah. I think like the first stage's song is the same as the fourth stage's, the second is the same as the fifth, something like that. But it still works, and they are great tracks. They don't feel redundant. They have their own uniqueness to them. And then there's even the boss music at the end.
Yeah, definitely less repetitious than what you run into with a lot of games, especially in this era. And I love that they did different tracks as you went further and through different levels. Like I can appreciate that.
What did y'all think of the difficulty curve?
It was Konami.
Yeah it was.
And NES.
I felt it. They're not kind
they're not
to me.
They're not playing.
They're not polite.
And with a short game like this, because mm-hmm. it is short, we said six mm-hmm. stages, and you can get through it in a
30
sitting.
Minutes.
Easy.
If you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Even with the difficulty. But it is that like dodge everything on the screen type of gameplay. And I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. I struggle with that at times. Because there's just a lot to dodge. And it ramps like... immediately, like stage two, especially when you have like those pillars breaking and falling, it surprises you. And I mean, I love that. I thought it was great. But if you're not ready for it, your car will get run over. Like, I thought it was pretty hard, but good.
Pretty. I don't want it to be unforgiving easy. Too. Like you get hit.
Yeah, once you're
missing a life,
but you have four.
But then extremely forgiving because you start with four or five lives, and then you have unlimited continues. Yeah. And so even after you go down to zero, you just start that stage over again. So you're not ultimately punished here. You can get through the game. Even so, I play the first time through with save states because I always want to explore the game as much as possible. And then when I beat it, I came back through just to see now with that experience what I would be able to accomplish. I think I got to stage three with only losing one life, and then on stage three I lost all of them. So like it does ramp up, and it does get Konami NES difficult. But I think that ultimately it is forgiving in the sense of you can just keep playing it. They're not going to ultimately punish you.
Yep. And that's what I prefer with this kind of game, like especially in the arcade. Though arcade games are designed in some way to be quarter eaters, and and so, you know, that's usually felt when we play the like arcade games on this podcast. In many ways the game felt like an arcade game, but in that sense, in the difficulty, it didn't. It was forgiving, and I feel like people who struggle with this genre can still succeed at this game, which is a really good balance. It's a good balance.
If you're willing to spam continues and get frustrated at doing a level for the sixth time.
That's fine.
Hey, I didn't even tell y'all. I on my NES controller, it's a Super Nintendo controller, I've got the turbo function, and so I put that on one of the times I played through, so my machine gun was a lot more effective than in the original iteration. So it is only $11 loose. You can get this cartridge for cheap, but the spread here, $11 cartridge, $316 new.
Yeah, man.
Big gap.
NES Classic Konami unopened on NES. I would. It could be more, you know.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Love for Nolan to go first, followed by Kenny, and then I'll wrap it up.
Okay. I beat the game 3 times this week. Never do that. I never do that. Even
never.
If, you know, I like the game and I do beat it, I rarely do that, you know, because time.
So the game's too short?
Wow.
It's not his turn, so act like you can't hear him.
And I can't believe you're so negative. Okay.
Honestly, we wouldn't rescue you if you were
not in the building. Some of you know, if you listened to last week's episode especially, I've been like addicted to Path of Exile. Okay. While I still am playing it nonstop, I did take a break at points throughout the week
that
to play
says a lot.
This game. And that's what I'm trying to demonstrate here. That's big for me. I think this game is fantastic. I can't believe I've never heard of it. It's one that should be in conversations when you talk about Konami especially, but also just like excellent NES games or arcade games for that matter. It's a must play. It's NGP all day long. And I'm going to fight Kenny. Like, it's so fun.
This might be one of those where Kenny's like, oh, but I liked it. I was just
being... I think he will, which is stupid.
But we'll see. Because if... I would rather that than him say no. Because if he says no, then he's got zero taste in video games.
I'd rather him say no because he's been negative this whole time.
Kenny, are you...
Well, one of you is about to get what you want.
Okay. Kenny, give it to us. Are you a yeah boy or are you a here boy?
Here?
Here's what I am. Konami has some must-play games.
Mm-hmm.
Konami makes really good games. This is not a must-play Konami game. It is a relatively good game. It's a fine game. It's put together well.
Changed it to fine.
Here's the problem for me. It just didn't hook me enough on the, like, games are supposed to be fun part of what's going on. The the mechanics of you got to get the one better gun, and that's your only option, and you don't have anything else that's novel about gameplay, just kind of bored me. Like, it's a nice looking game. I definitely can't say it's bad on like any specific thing. I just couldn't get into it. Sure, some of it's this genre. I'm especially not good at, well, maybe not platformer bad, but some of its difficulty, I don't know. It's nebulous. I didn't like this game. I think there's enough other similar games that are better that people should play those. And it lacked the fun factor for me. And so, yeah, no new game plus. Sorry.
No, you're not.
Not sorry, though.
You're so wrong. Listen, Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Contra 3. There are better Konami games than this.
Contra 1.
Okay, possibly. There are better Konami games than this. Sure, that's fine. Whatever. Yes, there's better games than this, okay? But this is... I cannot believe that this is a Konami game that I had never heard of and never played before. And it has the Konami excellence with everything that we've already talked about. I didn't get to beat it three times, unfortunately, because I would have loved to continue doing that. I only beat it twice this week, but thoroughly enjoyed it. This is a remarkable game that even has replay value, because you're probably not going to rescue all of the prisoners of war your first time through. I mean,
you've already talked.
Yes, there are multiple paths that you can go on at certain stages. You probably don't even know because you didn't give it enough time this week because you don't know video games. I cannot believe this is probably out of all the games that we played to not give this one vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah.
This is a remarkable, remarkable feat of excellence in 1988 and still holds up to today's standards in many ways. It is a Konami treasure for the NES. One of the better shooters, shoot 'em ups for the NES, and is most certainly a must play. It definitely gets my vote for New Game Plus status, which means that it is New Game Plus certified.
That's the most cringe non-NGP vote I've ever ever heard. Honestly,
that's certainly not the case. Oh gosh, man. Like, it's not a bad game, but we shrug at games all the time that are okay. But we realize
this is not one of them.
This is not one of them.
Absolutely that.
Let our community destroy Kenny.
All right, let's see what our community has to say. Thank you for writing in. Those of you that did, we're not going to be able to include all of your thoughts, but here are a few of them. SNES's Life said, Jackal is a super simple but also a very fun game. The controls are tight, music is solid, and level design is fun and interesting, especially since your map is bigger than the screen forcing you to explore. The enemy designs are fun and the environment well done with the color limitations of the old system. They really did a fantastic job on this game. The levels don't drag on too long, and you can easily wrap this game up in under an hour with some practice, which makes it a good length for what it is. Two-player couch co-op mode just makes it even better. Jackal is a super solid title worth playing and deserves NGP status.
Hey, Ness's Life. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Ness's Life. And thank you for your correct opinion. Super Gamer Guy said Jackal...
80% correct.
Super Gamer Guy says Jackal is a prime example of an arcade to home console port done well. The gameplay, music, mechanics, and difficulty are all just right. Controlling your Jeep felt responsive to where you wanted to go, and aiming your secondary weapon felt accurate to where you wanted to shoot at. The game was just the right length too, not dragging out or artificially lengthening its runtime to feel more expansive. Truth be told, this game is just a ton of fun, with a decent amount of replay value to boot, especially in co-op. Definitely NGP on this one. It deserves it.
Nice.
I will say, totally agreed on the controls. They feel good.
Nolan, do you remember the swamp level where they put water that slows you down?
Yep. And also,
they didn't have
when Super
that.
Gamer Guy just mentioned that the secondary gun felt accurate. It reminded me that, like, it had physics too. You could shoot near, like, the infantrymen, and the explosion would kill them. You didn't have to directly hit them.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pretty remarkable game, wouldn't you say, Kenny?
I would say.
I'd say it was a good game.
Player's Guide said, a ton of folks I know love this game, so I'm anticipating NGP status, but this game is best played with two players. So if there is a way for you to get together, I'm positive you will find it much more enjoyable. I think it's one that y'alls will be able to beat or come close to completion.
That's probably true.
Yeah, that's probably certainly a beatable game. And certainly I would have had more fun playing couch co-op.
Do you know how much fun that would be?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It'd be so much more fun than playing the game alone.
The next time we're together, we should play this game just to do it.
And then Rami, I believe that's correct, said, I remember playing Jackal on my older sister's knockoff console from the late 80s and loving every minute of it. Knockoff console?
Yeah, what?
I never finished, and I don't think I ever will, but I go back to it every few years just to remind myself of the weird aesthetic and the thrill of saving Stickman. It's obviously a classic, and I could spend all day praising different aspects of it, but my favorite has always been the bosses. They're creepy, overwhelming things that give you a genuine sense of danger and scale that I don't think exists in any other game of that time. Maybe that's nostalgia talking, but even now, I can't help but love the color palette of every level and the sheer insanity of statues that shoot rockets from their mouths. I love that game.
I want to hear more about a knockoff console. What is
that? Probably just means like a Commodore 64 or something that's not like so mainstream.
That's not a knockoff.
We must have just selected poorly, because surely there were other community members that didn't like this game, right? Because it sucks.
I never said
this game is a bad game.
I said it's a
good game that just isn't fun enough for me. It just didn't hook me. It's not a perfect game. It has problems. It didn't hit my gaming sweet spot, and I don't think it's one everybody needs to go back and play.
I think you're anti-military.
Ooh, that is Ooh. It. Yeah, you hate the flag.
Proof.
So now there is other commentary in our commentary channel on Discord. You can go check it out at a later time. And I do know that a few of them, I don't think anyone trashed the game, but I do think like there was some that had a more balanced, like, you know, it's good, but whatever, but still. So you can go read that at a later time. Thank you for sending your thoughts and commentary. They're not going to agree with you. Thank you for sending in your thoughts and commentary on the retro game of the week. And on that helicopter boss battle, Nolan, they're dropping out parachute guys from the helicopter to fight you once they land on the ground. Get a life. This game is great, but for now we're going to randomly set aside Jackal. Not, did I say randomly?
We're going to randomly set it aside.
We're going to set aside Jackal pretty firmly, and we're going to randomly select the next retro game of the week from our expansive retro master list. Randomizing now. We're going to be playing one of the most recent games that we played on the show. It came out September 15th, 2005.
Whoa.
Barely retro.
For the PC.
What in the world?
Okay.
It was developed by Her Interactive and published by Dreamcatcher. It is the 13th installment in the game's series.
What are you about to say?
It's got legs, boys. It's got legs.
Okay.
It's first person, where you're solving mysteries through interrogation of suspects, solving puzzles, and discovering clues. We're going to be playing Nancy Drew, Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon.
Okay. Have you all ever read a Nancy Drew book? I have.
Yeah.
No, I did. The Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys. I did the Hardy Boys too. Yeah. But
they did crossovers.
Yeah, they did, for sure.
There were lots of Hardy Boys.
This is going to be garbage.
Probably. So many things. 2005, they're still making Nancy Drew games.
Yeah, what?
13?
13. Yeah. Point number three, it is Kenny's time for the first play this week. So, Kenny, you're going to enjoy some Nancy Drew.
I'm so happy.
I am not opposed to solving murder mysteries. We'll see if this one does it well or not.
If he likes this game more than Jackal, we're not doing the show anymore.
Right. I will say, I'm looking down. They've got a character list on here, and Frank and Joe Hardy are in this game.
Oh, so,
crossover I'm a Hardy Boys fan.
That's hype.
All right. Find a copy of Nancy Drew Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon and play it along with us this week.
Discord will no doubt be a really fun place to hang out this week as we discuss this game. So please join our Discord. We have over 500 members. It is a thriving community. We're on our way to partner, right? So we want you to be active in our community. Go to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord to do that.
We also want to take a moment and say thank you to all of you who support us on patreon.com. You are so, so appreciated. And I know some of you even agree with me about this game.
No, you don't.
Like, I can make assumptions that are
You're
wild.
You're very wrong. He's very wrong.
No, I'm not very wrong. At best, I'm slightly wrong. So thank you to our wonderful director level supporters, yes. Antonin Garlisle and Unbedavable.
Thank you.
As well as to our many producer level supporters, Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Bro Jim, Carrie, David, Francesca, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, William, and Zion. You guys help us keep making fun retro gaming content, and we're so grateful.
You're honestly the bee's knees. So, Nolan, do you think he was just like playing this week and he was like, oh, this is not a fun experience?
I think he was playing it and he was like holding the controller upside down.
Yeah. Maybe he was playing Nancy Drew Last Train to Blue
Nancy
Moon Canyon on accident.
Nancy
Drew! Find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All those links are in the show notes. And hey, listen, let's do this week, okay? If you're not yet subscribed on YouTube, can you take a moment and do that right now? If you don't have a YouTube account, you should, because it's connected to Google, right? Or can be.
It's easy.
So listen, subscribe to us on YouTube this week. Again, those show notes are down in... We're on our way to 1,000 subs there. We put out multiple videos on a weekly basis. Quality. So go and check that out. It's worth watching. There's also a video cast. What you just listened to is on YouTube, where you can see our faces and Kenny's beard each and every week.
We should put this at the beginning of next episode.
We should. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as Kenny plays Nancy Drew Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon. Until then.
I better not just be me playing it.
That would be a funny troll thing for me and Nolan to not play the game.
Just not play it at all.
Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still right.
Nolan, drink a glass of water.
Yeah, y'all drink nonstop on this show. And watch that on YouTube. And this has been New Game Plus. Enfrared, that is the word. Enfrared satellites. Enfrared satellites soaring miles above Earth. Guys, I'll start when y'all are ready,
infrared.
So you just let it know.
You just can't say it like that.
You can't say it like
that. Oh, it is.
I didn't know what you were saying.
I thought you were joking.
Wait, say
infrared.
Infrared?
No, but it's not that, because there's an R there.
Right.
Nolan.
It's like February. You can say it. Infrared.
Infrared satellites soaring.
Sorry, I'm gonna laugh.
Continue.
This is blooper crap. Okay, go. I'm gonna hold myself together.